Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Okay, volume problem fixed. Here we go. All right, let's try this again. Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
Okay, media doing their level best to whip up corona hysteria. The end is coming. It's only a matter of time. Yeah. What's going on here with this? With the way that they're talking this up? Okay, keep in mind when they do these things, the media knows that the algorithms that are factored into automated buy and sell orders for the stock market, those are automated now.
Yeah.
And what they do is they scan large databases. That's newspaper articles about, you know, the financial situation in our country and in the world, and also the transcripts which go into those databases from television shows. So the algorithms scan those. At a certain point amount of time, when you use words that are negative for the economy, it begins to fire off sell orders. And so if they know this, and if they can talk something down, despite, you know, with very little evidence that anything's actually going on with coronavirus, they can trigger sell orders. That is plainly what is going on right now.
Chinese economy is shutting down. Mm-hmm. European economy is clearly going to struggle. Now it comes here. Yeah, businesses globally, they can't catch a break.
It's easy to see how this health crisis can turn into an economic one.
It's not just the travel industry. It's all the things that have actually been growing the fastest in the economy over the last few years that we would be hit.
The coronavirus wreaks havoc on Wall Street.
So what do investors need to do now to prevent a financial crash?
And this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So we finally, for the first time in 2 weeks, we have a new case in the U.S. Mm-hmm. We hadn't had one. We've now got one in California.
One.
It's certainly concerning. And I predicted yesterday we'd have more cases.
One case.
Yes. Absolute hysteria. We got one case. Now, it's interesting because we don't know how this person got it. They don't know how this person got it. They didn't travel. They didn't have contact with anyone that traveled that they knew of. That kind of thing. So that's a little bit of a mystery. But again, let's look at this whole thing. Okay, these are CDC numbers. Okay, this is worldometers.info. This tracks disease worldwide, all kinds of diseases. Okay, here's a couple things to know. Worldwide, the number of newly recovered patients from coronavirus has been greater than the number of newly infected every day since February 19th. So for the last week, the number of serious and critical cases, as well as of new deaths, is declining worldwide, not increasing. So, again, while it's certainly concerning, the end times are not here yet. We are not facing the imminent crash of the economy. What we are looking at is the Democrats flat out lying about this, about the coronavirus, about Trump's response. And Nancy Pelosi, let me tell you what they're doing. Nancy Pelosi drove this yesterday when she went out there and she said, well, you know, Trump hasn't done anything. He's just caught flat footed. He's not done anything. And, you know, it's too late to start now. That is a total and complete lie. Senator Tom Cotton summarized the best what has actually been done so far.
one reason why we have the time now to try to control outbreaks, try to get testing kits out to the 50 states, is because he took decisive action last month to shut down travel from China. And what happened at the time? Joe Biden accused him of being xenophobic against the Chinese. And Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were too busy trying to impeach him at the time.
So 22,000 people coming and going from China every day, completely shut down by the president. He was called xenophobic by the Democrats. Yesterday, Lee, Nancy Pelosi in one breath said Trump had done nothing, and in the other breath criticized him for shutting down travel and demanding he reopen. If we had kept the travel as the other countries did, we would have hundreds, if not thousands, of cases. So this is the Democrats trying to get pressure Trump into doing the one thing that will actually spread the coronavirus, re-up the travel with China that he had shut down and in other infected areas. And you know, it's incredibly frustrating watching this whole thing.
And then meanwhile, you know, he talks about spending $2.5 billion. I would ask the president on what. But of course, the Democrats think that's not enough. It's got to be $8 billion. It's like, what are you spending it on? Listen, I realize that it takes money to put experts into areas, you know, to move resources around, to do research on this stuff. I get all that. But even $2.5 billion, what are you spending it on? And how do Democrats know that that's not enough?
They don't.
The Wall Street Journal
broke this down. The money thing is the reason the Democrats are doing this is they've got this fake narrative going,
right,
that we haven't done anything today.
Yeah.
There's nothing been done, so we got to start now. And Trump doesn't get, because he's stupid, how serious this is, and because he's so focused on himself. And so we need to get him to do something. And the fact is, he's already doing something. They're just pretending he's not. And Alex Azar, at that press conference that the media totally ignored yesterday, this was the press conference that they didn't want you to see. Actually, it was 2 days ago. They didn't want you to see the press conference because he detailed what was going on. Explain this extensively, that they had gone and taken steps that really haven't ever been taken before in the modern era to shut down that amount of travel. Again, 22,000 passengers a day not coming and going from infected areas. And so that's what they've done from the beginning. So the Democrats are pretending that they didn't do anything.
As soon as we knew of the threat presented by this novel virus, public health leaders were monitoring it and beginning to prepare. The travel restrictions that the president put in place at the beginning of this month have given our country valuable time to continue to prepare, and that is precisely what those measures were designed to do.
Okay, so what do the Democrats want us to do? Listen to this.
I'm going to be introducing a plan tomorrow to take every dime that the president is now spending on his racist wall at our southern border and divert it to work on the coronavirus.
So at least we know where the infected folks will be coming from. The southern border.
Right. Now, we have Asian, we have Chinese people coming over that border all the time. They're from all over the world.
Yeah.
Korean.
Oh,
so this is the Democrats' plan is open the borders, stop the travel restrictions, pretend Trump doesn't have a plan in place, and blame him.
Well, blame him is the plan. That is the narrative for everything. If he does something, blame him. If he doesn't do something, blame him. It doesn't matter what the issue is, whether it's the economy, whether it's healthcare, whether it's defense, it's international relations, or whether it's a human health crisis, which, you know, many claim this is, or some claim this is. That's it. I mean, blame him for what he does and blame him for what he doesn't do. And that's it. Just blame Trump.
And we'll get into this more in the next segment. So what they're doing, they're to pretend that Trump did nothing. It's all pretend news. All of this is fake. They're saying that he fired the pandemic specialist,
yeah,
and disbanded the group that was handling this, you know, the mass infection. Okay, that's a lie. That's fake. What happened was that Obama had appointed an Ebola task force, and the guy leading it quit. Because there's no more Ebola. And so they're focusing on that and going, oh, my God, Trump disbanded it. What a nightmare. This is terrible. Trump didn't disband it. The guy quit and Trump didn't bother to reappoint it because we didn't need it anymore. What they're not telling you is that there has been a coronavirus from coronavirus task force from day one operating out of Health and Human Services, a separate task force that was not only never shut down, nobody was ever fired. Alex Azar leads it. He's our Health and Human Services Secretary. We have always had a coronavirus task force. So this is fake news. We don't need the Ebola task force. We need a coronavirus one. And that one is still up and running. But the media won't tell you that, and neither will Pelosi. So it's all fake news. All of this is fake. And there's really nothing to see here. Look, we're going to have more cases of corona. It's a miracle we've had as few as we have.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, to the Common Sense Retirement Planning at text line 71307. Texter rates. How can the Democrats freak out about one person with this virus, yet they will ignore all the citizens murdered by illegal aliens? I was going to say, I don't care about human life. No, it's their electoral chances. So if they feel like they could do something to hurt the economy, then they'll do that because that helps their electoral chances. Same way they were sticking up for the Iranian terrorist Soleimani when they felt it would help their electoral chances. And again, we looked at this yesterday. Now it's been 6 days. 5 days ago, stock market was at 29,500. So right on the cusp of that 30,000, a massive psychological barrier many said we'd never get through. They couldn't let them hit it. That's what all this is about. Again, we did have a new case yesterday. But before that, for 2 weeks, we hadn't had an additional case, which is a miracle. Honestly, I'd think it'd be much worse, and I expect more cases in the future, but this is not at the level that they're making it out to be. I'm looking at this Associated Press article. Lee sent this to me yesterday. And look, having been a journalist myself, when this article ran yesterday, when you do an article like this, you need a new hook. In other words, if the story hasn't changed for 2 weeks and there's nothing new, you need a new angle. And they didn't have one when they wrote it. There hadn't been a single extra case. But listen to what they write here. This is how they mess with people's minds who don't, you know, like me. I mean, I look at this stuff all day long. I catch this stuff. If you're a regular working person, you couldn't. You wouldn't have time. President Trump faces, this is AP. This is an absolute horse load. President Trump faces a critical personal challenge in grappling with the new coronavirus outbreak, asking Americans to believe him after some of his top advisors have contradicted federal scientists in playing down the threat. That didn't happen. All of his top advisors are in lockstep. Alex Azar, top officials from the CDC. The only person not in lockstep is Rod Rosenstein's sister. a mid-level manager at the CDC, person who should not be holding her own impromptu press conferences, but did. Alone, by herself, she decided to hold a press conference. Rod Rosenstein, you'll remember, is in a lot of trouble. And that's what that's what a lot of this is about for her. I guarantee it. He's the guy who signed off on those FISA warrants, 17 separate lies in the FISA applications. His name was one of those on those applications. Under penalty of perjury, yeah, that's a problem. When they knew better, that's a problem. So this woman has ample personal reason to take Trump down. So she went, we went over this yesterday. She went out there and she said, oh, you know, I was good. Outbreak could be severe. Might want to cancel any surgery you're going to have. Schools and businesses need to make plans for, you know, not coming in. And yeah. And she's based on what? Again, let's go back to the hook. Based on what? What new? Nothing new. There was absolutely nothing new. We've been at 14 cases. This does not count the cruise ship. 14 cases for 2 weeks at that point. What was new was the stock market had been on the cusp of 30,000 and they panicked. So let me read the rest of this crock of an article from AP. Keenly aware of the stakes. So his health advisors are not, they're not contradicting him. Rod Rosenstein's sister is. See, they don't tell you that. Rod and Trump have been at odds since Rod Rosenstein launched the Mueller investigation. He was the guy who did it. See how they leave all this out of the news? See how they make you ignorant? Through the lie of omission? Keenly aware of the stakes, not just, this is the AP's bunch of lies yesterday, keenly aware of the stakes, not just for public health, but also his credibility. Trump conducted a lengthy press conference Wednesday evening aimed at reassuring everyone that he has the crisis well in hand. Again, between the time I was on the air yesterday and today, we've had one case, a case, in California. Granted, it's the first case of transmission that we can't figure out. You know, this person didn't travel. They didn't have contact that we know of with anyone who traveled. We don't know where it came from. But that's not a widespread outbreak. Trump surrounded himself with his administration's top health experts, and he encouraged Americans to be prepared for the virus's potential spread. Okay, that's fair. But he continued to minimize the risk, saying the outbreak may get a little bigger. It may not get bigger at all. And he continued to distance himself from the stated opinion of public health officials. No, it's not officials. It's Rod Rosenstein's sister. Again, a person who was not authorized to have her own press conference and somebody who doesn't even speak for the agency. She just decided to have a press conference. Officials, Mike Keister. That it's inevitable the virus will spread within the U.S. No, co-ed, that's a total lie, too. All of Trump's officials have said virus will probably spread some more in the U.S. There's no disagreement on that. Trump said it. God, this article's twisted. It's like it was written in another universe. What was different was Rod Rosenstein's sister came out and said it's going to be severe. You know, schools need to make plans for, you know, telecommunication. So do businesses. Don't have mass gatherings. Don't schedule surgery. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's what's different. And it was one person. So to act like Trump saying nothing's going to happen here, there's no more spread, and his officials are saying otherwise, that's just not the case. Trump has said it himself. Here's what Trump said. I think it has a chance that it could get worse. There's a chance you could get fairly substantially worse, but nothing's inevitable. So at the time all this is going on, we had not had a single change. There was no hook for this story. Nothing had changed in 2 weeks, but they needed to gin up hysteria. Texter writes, how is some horse-faced pony soldier in middle management at CDC a top medical advisor? What a crock. See, this is what they do. Do you notice in everything I read to you, there were no numbers? Did you catch that? This is how they lie to you. There were no numbers. Okay, well, what is the crisis that Trump has downplayed and lied to us about? What's the change? As of yesterday when that was written, there is no change. None. But again, if you don't do this for a living where you sit down and analyze this stuff, you work for a living, you wouldn't catch any of it. That's how they lie to you. They manipulate you. That's not news. That's propaganda.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is an interesting question for you. Was for me, anyway. Are you better at parenting than your parents or your grandparents? About the same, not as good. And then in general, are parents better today than previous generations? What do you think the answer would be? Well, one poll talked to 2,000 U.S. parents with school-aged children, found 78% said they believe they're better parents than their parents were. 78%, that's high. 77% said they think they should not expose children to punitive parenting practices they endured, like spanking, having a strict bedtime. What do you think? Honestly, I have to say, better parents, not better. You know what? I think it comes down to how much you love your kids. And if you really love your kids and truly are concerned about them, most of the time you're going to be a good parent. My parents were. They really loved us. But we're stricter than they were. And part of that's a function of mine. My husband was raised in an extremely strict household. I mean, I think almost over the top. So we've had to kind of average out our parenting. My parents were kind of like, well, we'll crack down if you're bad, but if you're good, then things will go easy for you. And we were good kids, so I didn't really see that side of my parents. But I think we're stricter than my parents were. And that's just, but you know, and that's more out of not a reflection on children. It's just a reflection of the world. Things that my parents said, yeah, go ahead. Oh, slumber party? Yeah, sounds fun. Go ahead. They didn't even know the parents. But I mean, everybody's parents did that. Okay, cool. You want to run down to Rachel's house down the street? Cool. Have a good time. Be home when it gets dark. Wouldn't even dream of that today. I mean, not even a possibility. Because we know more about the world. We know more about the dangers. Here's an interesting stat when you contemplate this. Are you a better parent, about the same worse, than your parents were? Here's an interesting stat on this. I found this the most fascinating thing because I'm really into crime stats. It's from the Wall Street Journal. It's been 4 years ago now, so it's a little old, but it still gives you a good idea. Child kidnap rates. Stranger kidnap rates. Would you say they're up or down over your lifetime? You think up, right? You watch the TV. No, they're down 50%. Child murder rates. Down close to 50%. Child sex abuse rates. And of course, it's what's reported, so we don't know. But you would think there would be more reporting now, not less, since it's more acceptable to report a thing like that. Down almost 50%. Not up. Although if you watch the news, you would think so. So like in some ways, we are better parents in that we're more aware of the dangers of the world and we protect our kids for them. Unfortunately, we protect our kids from keeping them indoors. Then we have to, you know, amuse them. And that often falls to the computer. And there's a lot of bad moral stuff there. So, you know, you're seeing more of a moral decline. But, overall, probably more physical safety. It was interesting. Wall Street Journal, almost every stat down. Children hit and injured by cars down dramatically. That's because they're not running around. So, I mean, you know. Just overall child death rate dramatically declined over the last 25 years from 4 years ago. So, you know, you could look at it, two ways. I mean, morally, are we doing as good of a job with our children? Probably not. But some of that's an effect of the effect of the world around them. And I mean, it's really hard to keep that world away. Scott in Greenville. Good morning. What do you think?
Hey, good morning, Terry. I agree a lot with what you say. And my wife and I, we've raised three children. And I was an adopted child. I was adopted as an infant. And my father was an ex-Marine, and my mother just grew up on a hard-working farm situation. But they were both about 40 when they got me as an infant. So I had these seasoned adult parents, a very strict house, and it was there was a lot of physical discipline for failure, if you know what I'm saying. But
yeah.
I think as a parent, if you have a pretty good moral compass, I think you learn how to parent and how not to parent from your parents based on what you, if you're mature enough, you understand what worked and what didn't work, what you liked and you didn't like. And I know that guided me heavily with my children. And I'll give you a quick example because I want to be quick. But my dad, we never got to sleep in. We always were on the weekend. We got up early, but it was like boot camp. It was lights on, up, 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 that kind of thing. Well, over the course of my children's lives, it was the light would come on. We would softly say, okay, time to get up. I mean, it was just a...
Yeah.
But, and we actually woke them with the song, What a Wonderful World, with Louis Armstrong, which they hate that song. But we would play that. I mean, it was a thing for me because I hated that so much as a child. It affected how they woke up in the mornings. But it made a huge impact on their life. So,
you know, that's funny, Scott. You and my husband would probably have a lot in common. My husband was woken up exactly that same way. Saturday morning was his parents standing over the bed with a list of stuff he was going to do, and there was no sleeping in, and, you know, very, very strict childhood. And I've kind of beaten that out of him a little bit. I feel like childhood should be enjoyed a little more, but with a lot of responsibilities. So we've had to average our you know, child rearing. But yeah, so, but it sounds like you're a great dad, Scott, but it doesn't sound like you're quite as strict as your parents were at the same time.
That's true. I mean, like I say, there's a lot that I knew that didn't work for me. And there were some things that as I got older as a teenager, some of that stuff, you know, if it grinds on you long enough, you by nature, I think, will want to rebel. And I was somewhat of a rebellious child, but I do give my mom and dad a lot of credit, though, but they did instill in me a work ethic, you know, being fair to my fellow man, regardless of, you know, who they were or where they came from. So I got to give my parents a lot of credit, but I did lighten up a lot on my children. Just like I'll give you another example, and I don't mean to just take up your time, but I tried to create an expectancy with our children. Like when we would go on a trip or go to a relative's house, my dad would always tell us with a stern voice, you better be on your best behavior and this, you know. For my children, it was this. I'd say, okay, we're going here, we're going there. I expect you guys to be on your normal behavior. And that's how I did that. And it, you know, we never had any trouble with our children. And they're successful, independent kids today, and we're proud of them.
Well, it sounds like you got it right, Scott. And you know what? You know, you got to be able to, sort of the older strictness, you got to be able to differentiate between kids, you know. And I've got one who just needs the hammer brought down, and I've got another one, if you look at her, you know, with a slightly disgruntled look, she'll be in tears, you know what I mean? So you have to adjust a little. I don't know if the previous generations did that as well.
Yeah, I understand fully now. We had three, and I don't want to take up all your time, but I will tell you two quick things that we did, and I'm not trying to pull religion into it, but I think this helped. When my children did something, or let's say they wanted to go do something, they would say, hey, Dad, we want to do this, we want to do that. We never just answered right off the cuff. We would take a moment to sit down and say, okay, you know what? You did this week. You've done this, and you've done this. Okay, you've earned the right to go do that. But by the same token, I say, well, you know, you needed to do this, but you let down here, you let down here. I don't feel like you really have earned the right to do that. The other thing was, if something got to the point we felt like they needed a spanking, and yes, we did spank them, before we would do that, we would actually go to our living room, and we would get on our knees, and we would say a prayer, and I would openly ask for guidance to be the best father that I could, the best husband that I could, and to guide my children to becoming the kind of adults that God would want them to be. And more times than not, Tara, that would end up us embracing and crying together, and me growing as a man and them growing as a child. So,
well, the measure, Scott, is that it appears you raised really, really good kids. You know, it's interesting. The first one of those you just said about how your parents might have just kind of hauled off and whacked you. Whereas today we do this in our house too. There's punishment, but there's a lot of negotiation back and forth. Do you understand why? Do you understand where you fell down here? Do you understand? And the kids, we let them, you know, not talk back so much. We say, well, no, Mom, I don't think I'm gonna. Okay, but why do you think you deserve? You know, I feel like a lot of times with the other generations of parents, it was just the fist came down. and there was not as much learning about what went wrong here? Does that make sense? Like, I think the fist is good, but I think we need to have a conversation about, okay, this seems unreasonable, but look, I'm doing this because you can't do this at work when children depend on you. And that's exactly why I'm doing this. So.
Yeah. Well, my dad had a thing. It was if you question something, which, you know, you were taking a risk to question, but it was because I said so.
Yep.
Now, on the same token, we gave each of our children, when we would go take a family vacation or everything, we would give them each a chance to speak and input. Even though they knew we had the final authority, we wanted to let them know from an early age that what they thought, what they had to say, mattered. We wanted to know they had a voice. But any time we made a decision, we always took effort to explain why we determined it.
Scott, that is awesome. You could be reading my mind. We do that with the kids, too, on vacation. I think Scott and I have almost identical parenting philosophies. Cool call. Thank you very much.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
For all their whining and complaining, socialism, we don't like socialism. We don't want any socialism. We would never support socialism. But would they? Oh, heck yeah. Nancy Pelosi asked, okay, well, Bernie's the nominee. Will you support him? She doesn't even hesitate when she answers.
Well, wouldn't a non-Bernie candidate make your job easier if you're the ass?
Whoever the nominee is, we will embrace enthusiastically.
All right, there you go. Whoever the nominee is, we will embrace enthusiastically. So they're not really that bothered by Bernie's embrace, sort of Castro. You know what the irony of this is here, folks? This whole Democrat outrage, you've seen this now. They're asking Bernie the tough questions. Are you the kind of guy who likes dictators? We're not down with that. Remember after Bernie said this?
You know, when Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing? Even though Fidel Castro did it?
There's a lot of dissidents imprisoned in
Cuba. That's right. And we condemn that.
By the way, it turned out that literary program that he was referring to wasn't actually a literary program. It was a re-education program, and it was mandatory. I mean, if you didn't want to take a dirt nap. So all these Democrats, totally outraged, condemning the socialism. We hate it. We can't believe he's down with the dictators. We're outraged. We cannot nominate a guy like this. They already did. And they had nothing to say about it when Obama said this, and it was worse.
And I said this to President Castro in Cuba. I said, look, you've made great progress in educating young people. Every child in Cuba gets a basic education. That's a huge improvement from where it was. Medical care. The life expectancy of Cubans is equivalent to the United States, despite it being a very poor country, because they have access to health care. That's a huge achievement. They should be congratulated.
Yeah, well, our numbers are the same, and we're free. And every child here gets a basic education, too, but without the gulag. Did anybody condemn that on the Democrat side? All these people up in arms, media, oh, I can't believe that Bernie would throw in with dictator. Nobody condemned it. They already nominated a guy who thinks like that. So all of this, Bernie, we can't have a guy that's comfortable with dictators. It's crack. It's just a strategy to knock out a guy they think can't beat Trump. And you know what this is about? It's not even that. I give Bernie 50-50 to defeat Trump. I've been over the numbers with you. You know why. It's not even that. It's the fact that Bernie has raised the money, as Trump did, in small donations from real people, not Democrat power players. And they know if Bernie wins, he'll take over the DNC and kick all them out. The whole power structure will go right down the drain. And Bernie will replace it with his people. That's what this is about. But this whole idea, Democrats suddenly tilting toward socialism and dictators, that's not new. Do you see any of these hypocrites in the Democrat Party condemn Obama when he said that? Nah, because he's part of their power structure. It was cool. It was fine. It was good. What Bernie's doing is not new. It's not novel. Wasn't even as he didn't even go as far as Obama did. This is why he was confused at the debate, and he should have been.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.